Singer-songwriter Sean Mullins joins us on stage and in conversation today. His new album is The Ninth Ward Pick and Parlor. And the Ninth Ward, of course, is in New Orleans. And I asked Sean how that title came about.
I just named the record after the studio, kind of in honor of it and you know, the spirit of New Orleans and the music around the Gulf. I thought that was kind of my own little way of you know, just kind of memorial to it. But Mike West, who owns the studio, and it was right there in the heart of the Ninth Ward, like a block off the Industrial Canal.
Wow.
So it didn't weather the storm, needless to say, but all the stuff in there, you know, this old Steinway piano, probably 100 years old, you know, was ruined, and all their equipment, their computers, and all their studio gear. But they've since moved to Lawrence, Kansas, and they've reopened the Ninth Ward Pick and Parlor in Lawrence.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny?
The album starts off with a tune that I'm not sure the history of it, because it's got your fellow Thorns as co-writers on it.
Right. And Blue As You?
Yeah.
It was a Thorn song. Uh-huh. It was one of the nine original Thorn songs that we wrote, and it didn't make the cut of the record because it had the word blue in the title, and there were two other songs on the record that had the word blue in the title. Now, let me, like, just emphasize this. That wouldn't be good enough reason for me not to put it on the record.
Right, right.
But
oh, that's so funny. They thought people would get confused or whatever. That's,
I guess. I don't know. It was the producer. So anyway, that ended up being kind of the way it was, and I thought, you know, that song's such a great tune, and it had a real... It was one of my favorites that we had written together.
Well, we're going to hear a live version of that. This is Blue As You.
New like smoky morning, cool like heaven glow. Meet me on the mountain, I got no place to go. I like my daylight to be sober. I like my night skies to be blue. Blue as you. Desert sand, and half the words you're singing, boy, I don't understand. I like my daylight to be silver. I like my night skies to be blue. Days I wild away, guess that you could say I'm just unwinding. What you're looking for, babe, I know that isn't what you're finding. Blue is you. Interstellar rainbow on its cosmic wheel, rolling where the wind blows, never standing still. I like my daylight to be sober. My night skies to be blue, blue as you, blue as you. Thank you.
Live on stage at World Cafe Live, that is our guest, Sean Mullins, and his He explained that one. That was a co-write with his fellow members of the Thorns, Matthew Sweet and Pete Droege. And you get this, I'm sure, all the time. Is there a future to the Thorns? Is there a present to the Thorns?
Maybe. There's definitely a presence, just because there's, people are asking us about it all the time. And, I love the music we made together, and I really enjoy both of their company. I think it's a matter of we're wanting to really concentrate on our own stuff, because that was 3 years of our lives, and financially speaking, it really didn't pay off. It was a pretty tough go of it. We all kind of, after 3 years, were like, why did we do this? Gosh, that was a lot for. So that's, creatively speaking, I loved it. So I hope we can do something again together. It's just going to take a lot of money.
Now, is it true that you're interested in acting, doing something?
Well, I did a little bit when I was a kid, and I'm interested in it. I really want to act, but I don't want to do it bad enough to really study, right? And I'm friends with Kris Kristofferson now. We were actually hanging out not too long ago, and I asked him, I said, Kris, because I know he's this guy's no Laurence Olivier, but I know he's got this incredible presence right on camera that's obvious. He lights it up. And I was like, I want that, I want to do that. I want to do, it's not the easy way, but I kind of thought it was. And I said, how do you end up getting started, And I said, well, you just got to go and read for stuff. And I said, well, I've been doing that. I've been reading for a lot of films. I read for Cold Mountain. I read for all these big films, but I'm just not landing anything, And I said, in fact, the casting director for Cold Mountain had called my agent and about me and said, we really like this guy, but he really needs to go take an auditioning class. And, a class to learn how to be on camera. And Kris looks at me and goes, man, that ain't a real good sign. So that's my acting for you. So
I thought he was going to go tell you to get some blue contacts.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You have a song on this new album, which I'm hoping you all can do live, called Beautiful Wreck.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which Pete Droege works on.
We'll yeah, and Glenn Phillips actually started that one.
Oh, really? Glenn Phillips?
Yeah, he was in the writing session that song came out of, and that initial idea is his. And it was another song altogether. It had a whole other chorus, and it was kind of lame, we all agreed, when we were writing it. And it got thrown away for 3 years. I pulled it up, and when I was searching for material for this stuff, and I was like, gosh, that first line of that tune that we threw away is so good. I've lost count of the times I've given up on you, but you make such a beautiful wreck, you do. And it's Glenn's line. And I said, that's a whole song right there. That's, so I worked on it, and I came up with a new chorus, and it fit right together with these verses that Glenn and Pete and those guys had done. So, it ended up being kind of an afterthought co-write that, after all that, it's the single for the record. It's kind of a funny story, really.
Well, that's if you can do a live version of that one?
Yeah, sure.
Your mind at the dark end of this bar. such a beautiful, a beautiful wreck you are. What a beautiful, such a beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Live on stage, a great version of Beautiful Wreck, one of the new songs on Ninth Ward Pick and Parlors. We're talking with Sean Mullins and hearing some live performance today. I was watching a lot of the your audience that came in for this concert we threw that we're playing some of the performances from today. And, you know, a radio station gets a whole lot of different people listening to it. Well, you kind of seem to appeal to the biker ex-hippie folks out there.
Oh, yeah?
I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool.
And there's a real populism in what you write and what you do, and that's always seemed to me to be a part of what you do. And I was just trying to think about that, and I realized that something we'd never talked about was that you spent time in the military, and it would seem that people who do that get thrown in with people from all walks of life. And I'm wondering if that had any effect on you. Were you doing music at that point?
I was doing music then. This was the late 80s, early 90s. I actually left active duty in 91, and I became a member of the Individual Ready Reserves for the next 6 years or so. So that was able to really pursue the music. But, yeah, I mean, it's a strange thing. I think being in the military gave me a certain perspective that now that my politics, it wasn't even really as it needed. You know, it wasn't like everyone else's politics. You know, I was kind of an odd, you know, military guy anyway. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had a job to do. But it was an interesting thing looking back on it now. I think it gave me a perspective that I was able to take with me on the road and a certain confidence, a certain there were certain things like airborne training and things like that that kind of give you gut checks, you know, and a lot of the, you know, younger bands that are getting out on the road, you know, it's tough for them to sleep in a van, you know, that kind of stuff was nothing. I was used to being in a foxhole, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
And so that kind of thing was probably helpful. And also that, you know, there were great people skills that I learned just as far as communicating and leadership and learning how to just chat with people and look people in the eye too when you're talking to them, which is always a kind of funny thing in a big city when you're walking through. If you can catch the eye, you know, of someone and just chat with them, and it's always it's where I get my songs from. Really, is just watching the humans, you know.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. Sean Mullins is our guest, and there's a song you must finish up almost every show with, which we're going to get to in just a sec. Looking back, when I first met you, you were in the throes of having this song, Lullaby, just come out of nowhere and do things for your career that you probably always imagined but didn't know. How do you look back on it now? I mean, You got to put something into it every night. You got people want to hear it.
Yeah, well, you know, I still really appreciate the song. It's I've heard James Taylor talk about this, and I don't want to repeat him exactly, but I will say that it's I recognized what he was saying. He mentioned Fire and Rain, and the interviewer asked him if he ever gets tired of doing it, and he was like, well, you know, every now and again you roll your eyes. He said, but and this is the part that I related to. That once in a while, when you do the song that really got you there, you'll connect again with that moment when you wrote the song, or when you finished it, or maybe a feeling that you had while you were doing that, and that's partially what keeps you going. Of course, it's your job too. That's the way I look at it. Is that, you know, that's what a lot of people know me for. It's my job to keep doing it. But honestly, I'm kind of in awe of it still that it happened that way, because it really did change my career so many ways.
Yeah, and it allowed you to essentially do more of what you want to do now. So that,
without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is great. Not that you didn't want to do this, because this is a great song. So
yeah,
let's go back to the stage.
Lay your weary head down. Dry your tired eyes. Lay your weary head down and rock a bite. Well, she grew up with the children of the stars. In the Hollywood Hills and the boulevard. Her parents threw big parties, you know everyone was there. They hung out with folks like Dennis Hopper and Bob Seger and Sonny Ancher. Yeah. But she feels safe now in this bar on Fairfax. From the stage I can tell that she can't let go and she can't relax. Just before she hangs her head to cry, I sing to her a lullaby. I sing everything's gonna be alright. Rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye. But she still lives with her mom outside the city, down that street about a half a mile. And all her friends tell her that she's so, so pretty. But she'd be a whole lot prettier, you know, if she'd smile once in a while. But you know, even a smile looks like a frown. 'Cause she's seen her share of devils in this here angel town. And everything's gonna be alright. Rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye. And everything's gonna be alright. So rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye. I told her, I said, I ain't so sure about this place. It's hard to play a gig out in La La Land and keep a straight face. So
Seems like everybody's got a plan, and they do. It's kind of like Nashville with a tan. And everything's gonna be alright. Rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye. Everything's gonna be alright as long as you rock-a-bye, rock-a-bye.
Lullaby, Rockabye, finishing up the set today from Sean Mullins and this great band. And it's great to have a chance to get a in between the songs bit with you, Sean. It's kind of fun.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming by, and congratulations on the disc. It's a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Sean Mullins. Simply visit your favorite podcast directory or our website at npr.org and click on NPR Podcast to learn how you can receive World Cafe Words and Music as a weekly download.